It's wonderful to have you guys here. And, you know, last week Sunday, I mentioned to you guys that, you know, internationally, Good Friday is the most church attended day in the calendar. And it's always been astonishing to me since we got here and started the church 9 years ago. I can't believe it's been 9 years. 9 years ago. You know, I remember we were the new kids on the block, you know. We're not that new anymore. But I remember when we had our first Good Friday service, we did it in the morning because I just thought everybody doesn't work on Good Friday, you know, like everywhere else in the world. And I remember arriving there, and I believe there was four people. We had four people at the service. And so we were very grateful for all four of them. So that morning I got to preach to the staff. and it was amazing to see how God has, you know, has added. And, you know, and here you guys are on Good Friday. You know, the day that we remember our precious, precious Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I am so grateful. I'm so thankful for salvation, for life, for blessing, for purpose, for hope, for peace, for joy. It all comes because Jesus died on that cross. And, you know, we're going to do communion. It's a very special communion service, this, and we take communion at the end of the service. This evening, I'm going to be talking to you about the power in the blood of Jesus. And, you know, I think it's such a fitting subject because it's the day, this is the day that we celebrate, the day that blood was spilt for us. There are many of us that understand the power in the blood, but there are also many people that don't know the fullness of what's available to you because of what Jesus did. And this is not a theological thing. This is something that is really powerful. And when I get towards the end of the message this evening, which will probably be about at around about 11:30. I'm just kidding. it's going to be a little later than that. Sorry, guys. Okay. No. We will see just, you know, how powerful that really is. I'm going to give you some things this evening, some things I want you to know about just how powerful the blood of Jesus is and what it does for you as a believer. This list that I'm going to give you is most definitely not a complete list because, you know, one of the things about the cross is that at the cross there was an exchange. You know, Jesus was the sacrifice lamb, and because of his sacrifice, there was an exchange. That exchange is extremely powerful, and I'd love to actually dive into that, but we're going to keep that for another day. This evening, I just want to share with you a few things about what the blood of Jesus does for us. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that the blood of Jesus redeems us. The blood of Jesus redeems us. You know, I was thinking about it when I was preparing. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've been a Christian for long enough, you've probably heard that saying. The blood of Jesus redeems us. But do you know what it means? You see, the word redeem, it means to release from bondage through payment of a price. So in other words, we have been redeemed from bondage because of a price that was paid. What you need to know is that release from bondage is because of the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says it like this. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The payment for your redemption and for my redemption from freedom from bondage was the blood of Jesus. It's so powerful. It was that blood that spilt that was an exchange so that we could have redemption. So that there was a cost, there was a fee. That's why we always say salvation is free. No, it wasn't. Salvation was very costly. Redemption was very costly. It doesn't cost you anything, but it cost Jesus his life. It cost Jesus his blood. And I'm just so grateful. It says that in him we have redemption through his blood. the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19 says this, knowing that you were not redeemed with a corruptible thing like silver or gold from your ailments, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus had to be a spotless, blameless lamb. Just like in the old covenant, when sin was taken away or when sin was atoned for, a sinless, spotless lamb had to be sacrificed and the blood had to be spilt to pay for that sin. Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice that redeems us, and it's because of his blood. So we know that the blood of Jesus redeems us. The second thing you need to know about the blood is that the blood of Jesus cleanses you. I need to say that again because I really want you to get this evening. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. So when you have sinned, his blood is there to take it away. It's so powerful. 1 John 1:7, I'm going to read this in the Amplified version because I'm actually going to be reading a lot from the Amplified this evening, because the Amplified, what it does is it takes a Greek word or a Hebrew word and it gives you multiple definitions of the word. So it actually expresses the language very well. It's a beautiful, beautiful translation. And this is what it says. It says, but if we, this is 1 John 1:7, if we really are living and walking in the light. Now, this is important that you know this, because the word walk, the word really, this word really is important, because it's basically saying to us that, listen, you have to walk in the light. So if you're a believer, you really have to be living and walking in the light. You have to continue to do this. And when you do this, listen to what it says. It says, if we are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses, look at this, in the Greek, it says removes, so it cleanses and removes us from all sin and guilt. It keeps us clean from sin in all its forms and manifestations. So when you've sinned and you come to Jesus, you need to know that the blood is available to you to cleanse you from that sin. It's available to you to remove that sin. It's so powerful. It's just like it never happened. And some of you need that more than others. So you need to know that the blood of Jesus, it cleanses you. It cleanses you. It's so powerful. The blood of Jesus not only cleanses us, but it also makes us righteous. We are righteous, or you could say justified. In the Greek language, the same word is used for justified and righteous. It's the same Greek word. So we are righteous or justified because of the blood of Jesus. Romans 5:9. Take a look at what it says in the Amplified. It says, therefore, since we are now justified, that word justifies, you could basically say it means acquitted or made righteous and brought into right relationship with God. Isn't that beautiful? So what do we need to know how? How is this possible? I'm so glad you're asking. It says by Christ's blood. That's the way, guys. We are justified. We are acquitted, made right. We are made righteous. We are put into right standing with God. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. If it wasn't for the cross, if it wasn't for his blood, if he hadn't spilt that blood, if it hadn't fallen down to the ground, we wouldn't be righteous. We wouldn't be justified. The word justified, many people describe it like this. It's just as if I hadn't sinned. That's what justification really is, or being made righteous. It's the blood of Jesus that causes us to step into the righteousness of Christ. So powerful. So we know that We are redeemed by his blood. We are cleansed by his blood. We are made righteous or justified by his blood. But we are also made holy by his blood. Another word for being made holy would be to be sanctified. We are sanctified by his blood. We are made holy. We are set apart because of his blood. Hebrews 13 verse 12 says it like this. Therefore Jesus also suffered and died outside the city gate in order that he might purify. See, that's making you holy. Purify and consecrate the people. Again, we want to know how. Through the shedding of his own blood and set them apart as holy. They are holy for God. That's you guys. Because of the blood of Jesus, you have been set apart. You have been consecrated and you have been made holy. Outside of the blood, this is completely impossible. It's only the blood that causes us to step into that righteousness. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus makes me holy. It redeems me. It sets me free. It's the blood of Jesus that sets me apart. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses me. Come on, let's say, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The next thing I want to share with you is that the blood of Jesus protects us. And over the years as a believer, this is something I've come to understand more and more. And at my house, when I go to bed at night, every single night I pray with my children. I say, Lord, I plead your blood over my house. Let your blood seal and protect this house, Lord. And if you have a look in Scripture, if you go to Exodus 12, verse 13, we get a glimpse of this. We all know the story where when the angel of death was going to pass over Egypt, they were instructed to put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. And this is what it says, Exodus 12, 13, the blood shall be for a token or sign to you upon the doorposts of the houses where you are, that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want you to know that there is no plague. There is nothing that can touch you if you are sealed in the blood of Jesus. Sometimes in life, we go through different things. Sometimes in life, it feels like that's not the case. But what we need to realize is that we have to think outside of the box. What does that mean? We can't think of this life only, because you were not created for this life only. You were created to be with him for eternity. When God created man, he created man for the earth. But the earth went into a fallen state because of the fallen man. So God has a plan to restore man into a new heavens and a new earth. So even if something doesn't quite go the way we think it should, or ends up not being the way we expected, what we need to understand is that this is not the end. Listen, if you've been a pastor for 9 years, you've seen tragedy. I've been involved in burying children. I've been involved in burying mothers. I've been involved in burying grandparents. I've seen pain. I've seen sickness. I've seen healing. I've seen miracles. And I've seen some that don't get healed. But one thing I know is that I have a hope. I have a true hope. And I believe with all of my heart that when one person crosses over from this side to the other side, it's literally the blink of an eye. And then we remain here. I don't know, this was not planned. We remain here on this earth. Let's try this out. They took away my walking space. This is kind of nice. I might leave this here. You know, when you When you move from one dimension into the next dimension, the eternal dimension, the spirit realm, which is an eternal dimension, I don't think it's like what we expect. I think it's glorious when you go to be with the Lord. And that's why the Bible talks about a cloud of witnesses cheering you on so that you can finish your race, so that you can run this race and finish it. Because guess what? There are people that you love that are waiting for you on the other side. And we remain in our hurt and our pain, which is absolutely real and totally understandable when we do lose someone or we have lost or we experience something that's difficult. And I think they standing on the other side saying, if you only knew, if you only knew, I've had a glimpse of eternity. It's the blood of Jesus, guys. It's the only way to true life. Jesus had to go to that cross and spill his blood the way that he did so that we could have all of this. And this is really only the beginning. But that protection that comes from the blood of Jesus is very, very real. Not only is the blood of Jesus a form of protection, but I truly believe the blood of Jesus is one of our greatest weapons. And what I mean by that is, let's take a quick look because they kind of flow into each other. The next thing is the blood of Jesus is a weapon. Revelation 12, verse number 7. Revelation 12, verse number 7. Don't worry, I won't really be here till 11. I'm actually almost done. Oh, that's nice. You might regret that. Don't encourage me. Revelation 12, 7 says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. Man, I'd love to preach about this right now, and I'm going to. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accuses them before our God day and night has been cast out. Now watch. Watch this. And they, who's the they? The believers on the earth. And they, the believers, overcame him. And how did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Listen to me. Oh, come on, somebody. That's right. Stand to your feet and give the Lord a big clap and a shout. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you for the blood. Oh, thank you for the blood. The word overcome in the Greek is the word nikeo, and it means to conquer. It means to prevail. It means to overcome. It's not defensive, it's offensive. It means we go on the offense against the enemy. Remember, it's the accuser of the brethren who stands before heaven day and night accusing you. And the way to overcome him is to stand up and say, listen, devil, I know who I am. I know what he did. And because of the blood of Jesus, the blood is against you. And because of the blood, I am redeemed. Because of the blood, I am innocent. Because of the blood, I am holy. Because of the blood, I am free. Because of the blood. And who are you? You fallen creature. Come on, somebody. Shout to the Lord this evening in this place. Oh, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I can tell you, I've been in deliverance sessions. And you just mention the word, the blood of Jesus. And the demon begins to shake in fear. Because he knows he has nothing in the blood. It was Satan that crucified the innocent Christ. And that blood speaks for you. The question is, The sword of the Spirit is a two-edged sword which requires your voice. So the blood speaks about your redemption. It speaks about your blessing. It speaks about your holiness. It speaks about your deliverance. The question is, what are you saying? See, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. But what gives it that power is the blood. It's the blood. So when you declare to the enemy, listen, devil, don't try and remind me about what I did when I was 10 years old. Don't try and remind me and keep me in guilt and shame and pain and hurt because of something that happened. Devil, let me remind you that the Word of God says that I am justified. That I am set apart. That I am holy. So you can stand there and bark all day, devil. But the blood is speaking. The blood is still as powerful as it was the day it was spilt. It still works, guys. It still works. In this crazy age that we live, the blood still works. Amen. The last point I want to share with you, and I wanted to say this was my favorite, but the truth is they're all just so good. But the last point is that the blood of Jesus gives you access, man, to the presence of God. We are not purpose-driven Christians. As much as we love purpose, we are presence-driven. We are a people that pursue His presence. God said when He desired something, He didn't say, "I'm desiring purpose-driven Christians." As much as God wants us to fulfill our purpose, He said that I'm looking for those who will worship me. He's looking for those that will go beyond the veil. Those that will desire the most holy place because He has made it available to you. And the way that He did it was with His blood. Take a look at what the Bible says. Let's go in our Bible to Hebrews 10, verse 19. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and virtue in the blood of Jesus." It's because of His blood that the veil was torn and we were given access. Before Jesus died on that cross, only the high priest had access to the Holy of Holies, and it was only once a year. And they tied a rope around his leg because if he messed up, he would die. The only thing that gives us the right to access that holiness, that holy place, that most holy place, is the blood. Because remember, it's the blood that qualifies you. It's the blood that makes you holy. Church, we live in the greatest time in God's biblical timeline. I truly believe that because we have access. When Jesus spoke about the prophets, He spoke about how John the Baptist was the greatest because John the Baptist was the one who witnessed the Christ. But He spoke about those that would come after Him that would be greater. Why? Because we have the fullness of the Spirit. We have the fullness of His Word of God. We know His Word. We know the story from beginning to end. We know that the blood qualifies us. We know that the blood cleanses us. We can stand toe to toe with the devil and read him his "Wax on, devil, wax off, get lost." I could say it another way, but I'm in church. And I can do it not because I'm arrogant or because I'm prideful, but I know what the blood has done. So you have been given access to God's presence because of the blood. Now remember what I said to you at the beginning of this message this evening. This is most definitely not a complete list. But without any doubt, these are some of the main points of certain things that we need to know as believers. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You have been redeemed. You have been cleansed. You have been made righteous. You have been made holy or sanctified. It's the blood that protects you. It's the blood that is your weapon against the enemy. And it is His blood that gives us access to His presence. If I can ask the ushers to begin to get the elements together, we're going to take communion now. I don't think there's any better time of the year or moment to take communion than when we remember what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. I think that for many of us, and I don't want to just stay on this point, but I think for many of us, we just don't really fully realize how blessed we are as His people to truly have access to God's presence. So I encourage you to go after God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, while they hand out the elements. This is what Paul says to the church. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' And in the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." While they hand out the elements, I want to just remind you that there are two primary things that communion does for us. It gives us the opportunity, number one, to remember. What better day to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made than on Good Friday, the day that He went to the cross and spilt His blood for us. It is also a day that we proclaim the Lord's death, and we will continue to proclaim it and remember to proclaim it when we take communion. But we will do so until He returns. Proclaim what the blood of Jesus has done for you. Proclaim the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, what it has done for us. I want to read on. It says this in verse 27. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." This was never meant for you to not take communion because you feel unworthy. You are unworthy, but it's the blood of Jesus that qualifies you to be worthy. What's important about this is that the Lord wants us to examine our own hearts, because you must understand, from the throne, from the cross flows grace. That grace flows into you to forgive you, to provide for you, to bless you, to take away your sins, to make you holy, to justify you. Everything I shared with you this evening. But what you must remember is that grace must flow through you. The Bible teaches us about forgiveness, and it teaches us about anger, bitterness, those kinds of things. But the Bible clearly says that when we ask for forgiveness, when Jesus instructed His disciples, He said, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us." There is no better opportunity to remember that forgiveness flows towards you. And because it flows towards you, you too should release. Release. Guys, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. How many of you want that grace to flow through you like a river? Come on, somebody. Like a river, a mighty rushing river. That's what I want. Never mind a wind, I want a river. A river of His grace. So therefore, because I recognize my sinfulness, my weakness, my unrighteousness, I grab a hold of grace and mercy and love and the righteousness and justification that comes because of the blood of Jesus, because of the body that was broken, and I hold on to it, and I have no right, because I'm claiming it and taking it for myself, I have no right to hold anything against anybody. Are you guys with me? So communion is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I recognize my own faults, my own weaknesses, and I remember your sacrifice, and I'm so grateful for the blood of Jesus, for your body that was broken, that we can be partakers of the heavenly gift, that we have the Holy Spirit not only living and teaching us and living on the outside of us, but even living on the inside of us, changing us and transforming us. So what we're going to do is we're going to do exactly as Scripture says. We're going to take a moment and examine our own hearts this evening before we take communion together. And I want to ask you this evening at this sacred communion service to really examine your heart. Not because I want you to see how bad you are. We all know how bad you are. How bad I am. But rather take it as an opportunity to be grateful for what Jesus has done. To be grateful that He makes you holy. To be grateful that He cleanses you. Let's take an opportunity to show our gratitude to Him this evening before we take the communion elements together. If we need to forgive, forgive. You might need to forgive yourself. Let's take a moment. Let's bow our heads. Let's honor the Lord. Let's make fresh commitments to Him this evening. Let's consecrate our hearts to Him, our lives to Him. Let's do it now for just a few minutes. And so, Father, this evening, as we gather together in this place, as we take a look and see what you have done, you sent your Son, and He willingly gave His life. Jesus, you gave your life willingly. The Lamb without spot or blemish that came to take away the sins of this world. When John the Baptist saw you, he declared it. And so it has been, as he said. Jesus, you came. You have saved us. Because of you, we are redeemed. We are cleansed. We are justified. We are sanctified. Because of you, we have authority. Because of you, we can stand cleansed and made whole. And this evening in this place, Father, as we examine our hearts, we realize, fully recognize, that we need a Savior. We need you, Jesus. And we are so grateful for what you did on that cross. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for rising on the third day. Thank you for life and life more abundant. Thank you for love and peace and joy and hope. And this evening in this place, Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let us do as your word says. Come before the throne of grace boldly. Come into the holiest of holies with confidence and boldness. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just fill this place even now. That you will touch lives and draw people closer to you into a deeper walk with you, Lord. We are grateful that we have access to your presence, access to you, Father. We are so thankful, so grateful. And we pray this evening in this place together in the precious and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all take the bread and the cup together. But before we do that, we have to sing a little song. Let's sing it together. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes whiter than snow. Amen. Father, we are so thankful. The Bible says that he took the bread, he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body. Let's all take the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, take, drink, this is my blood. And so we stand together in this holy congregation, Father, gathered together this evening with gratitude and thankfulness. Lord, I pray a special prayer over each and every person in this place, your blessing, your favor, your hand upon us. Lord, these people took time this evening to come in their busy week, their busy life, to meet with you and to remember your sacrifice. It is with gratefulness and thankfulness that we gather together this evening. We love you and we honor you in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming this evening. It was so wonderful to have you here. Don't forget to come back on Sunday morning. We have a special, special service. God bless you. May the peace of the Lord be with you and his favor upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.